dire climate change predictions, and the impacts of global warming that we're already experiencing can be tough for adults to get a handle on. So how do we talk to kids about it? Mary Beth Manarino is a psychologist and professor emerita at Chatham University in Pittsburgh. She's often asked about how to talk to kids about the existential threats of climate change, from her students or people who know that she's passionate about the topic. Manarino says climate change isn't on every parent's radar or priority list, but there are strategies that can help parents navigate conversations about a topic that scares many of them about their children's future. At what age is it appropriate to broach the subject of climate change with kids, or should you wait until they ask you about it?
I think one of my cardinal pieces of advice when I talk about these issues of climate change or other big things is to know your child. Some children will be curious, they will have heard things, and they'll ask questions. Other children may not ask questions, but it doesn't mean that they're not thinking about it. So keep in mind your child's personality. If your child is a particularly anxious-prone child, you'll want to keep that in mind when you talk with them. The libraries do carry some children's books for very young children about climate change, but as a parent, you should probably review those and make sure that they're appropriate for your particular child.
So toddlers up to, you know, elementary, middle school kids. I'm assuming that most high school kids know something about it.
Most high school kids, and actually many grade school kids. It's taught in some schools in the science programs. With toddlers and preschoolers, I would put most of the emphasis on thinking about our natural world in general and how our children and we are part of that, and seeing that as something to protect and be grateful for and experience at the very young levels. That's a more productive way to do it. And then if climate change or other environmental questions come up, then you talk about how people are working to make sure that we're taking care of things. It's kind of like what Mr. Rogers says, that you look for the helpers, and you, when you talk with children, you make sure that you can identify the positive things that people are doing to help things be better.
What should you say about climate change? Should you talk about the science of it, or, you know, how deep into it should you get?
Well, again, that depends on the child. Some children will be very curious about that. And depending upon your own level of knowledge and expertise, I think it's fine to factually answer things and to help them find resources to get more information or to do it together. With other kids, the underlying question is often, will I be okay? Are bad things going to happen? Who's going to take care of me? And with those kinds of kids, I think I would just frame it as, you know, the world often faces big, hard problems, and we all work together to try to solve them and make things better, and we're doing that with this.
Yeah, because we don't actually know how this is all going to turn out, I mean, as adults. So how do we handle that kind of uncertainty when we're talking to kids about climate change and, as you said, about their own future?
Yeah. So this is where I think parents really need to do some soul searching and self-care and think about this very carefully for themselves before they get into it with their children. We all deal with ambiguity and uncertainty in many aspects of our life. And this is one of the biggest and scariest ones if you're aware of it.
So is there a danger of projecting our fears onto kids?
It depends on the kid. I would caution against projecting your own fears on the child. I think you need to manage your strong emotions and think very carefully about how to talk about your own response to this situation. In talking with kids, I think it's okay to say, this is scary to me too. But I would put the focus on what they're feeling and on the places where action is being taken. And I also think, be aware that you're probably, even if you're not involved in activist work or any kind of protest about climate change, many families are already taking steps in the home that reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, which is a big part of climate change. If you're reducing the use of plastics, if you take your own grocery bags to the store, for example, that's something you're already doing.
So you can model that for your kids.
Right. And also if you're a family that has a garden or has pets or has plants in the house, you're already communicating your reverence and your respect for nature and how we take care of it.
What if your kid doesn't want to hear about climate change? Like, you, like it's a really important value to you.
I would respect that. Your kids take away so much more from what they observe you doing than they do from the words you say. So if a child is not ready to hear about something, I would respect that and tell them the door is always open and you're willing to talk. But I'd really respect that because a lot of kids take stuff in and process it before they're able to talk about it. I saw that in my own children following Columbine and 9/11, where one of them had question after question after question and really wanted to talk about it. And the other one just kind of sat with it. And I would be observant of your child if they do that, because sometimes that masks a lot of distress. Other times it's just their style that they need to sit with it for a while and they're taking it in and trying to process it themselves.
What should you absolutely not do or say?
That's very hard in these days. I would try my best not to make it an us-them kind of framework, good guys, bad guys. I would really try to find examples of how people are trying to cross over those bridges between different perspectives. I would not go doomsday. I think that adds to anxiety, which can go in all kinds of different directions that aren't healthy for kids. One of the other things that I think about a lot is the pervasiveness of media that's coming into the home. And this is particularly critical for older children and adolescents who have their own phones and access to the computer. But I would really kind of monitor what's coming into your family and into your child's eyes and ears about climate change and other distressing things, particularly if there's a natural disaster related to climate change like Hurricane Katrina or any of the other things that have happened. Your instinct may be to dive into that yourself and just try to absorb as much of the information as you can. But remember that your children may not be able to manage that. For them, it might be like trying to take a drink from a fire hose and it just overwhelms them and knocks them down and scares them because they don't have the context for it that you do. I would not communicate helplessness, like it doesn't matter what we do or we're all going to hell in a handbasket. You know, I just wouldn't go that way. I think the way that you manage this is going to give your children tools that can be applied to many different difficult situations that come up.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Mary Beth Manarino is a psychologist and professor emerita at Chatham University in Pittsburgh. We've talked with her in the past about how to talk civilly about climate change with other adults, too. There are links at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.